bude naplněn, to znamená získat nové informace, nové poznatky o tom, jak můžeme pacientům s Duchennem a nebo s podobnými rozhovými onemocněními pomoci. A věřím, že ten čas pro vás dneska bude úspěšně stráven. Přijímalo by se vám parlamentu, respektive Senát parlamentu České republiky, líbilo a nyní předám slovo hlavně Mokcové, která vás seznámí s hodnější programem.
Good morning. Do I speak loudly enough to be understood by everyone? Can you hear me? Yeah? I think I have a good voice to be understood. So thank you and for welcoming me here in Prague. First of all, I would like to thank the End Duchenne Association and in particular Paulina Olutkova for her invitation here. And it's for me the opportunity to tell her that I'm fully respectful for all the hard work they are doing here in the Czech Republic. So I have been asked to speak about the system we have in Belgium. And the title of the presentation is The Complex Centralized Care for Patients with Neuromuscular Diseases in Belgium. So I will present the system we have. It's not the best one, it's not the worst one. It has the advantage to be available, and I will explain it to you now. So, neuromuscular disorders, there are almost 600 different forms of disorders. They are all genetic disorders. And what is the characteristic of those disorders is that they are all with progressive loss of muscle. So it means that patients can move at the beginning, and after time they will lose their strength and be totally paralyzed. And the most known disorder in these pathologies is the Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which has the advantage to have a stereotype progression. And if we look at the progression of the disease from birth to adulthood, we can see some milestones in the evolution of this disease. First milestone is, in general, the diagnosis is made at around 3, and at that time we can speak about medication like steroids to see that patients can progress properly. The second milestone is the loss of ambulation at around 10, 12 years of age, and at this time they will be offered to have a wheelchair to move. There is a next milestone, this is the appearance of scoliosis, but now with giving steroids, we have only 10% of Duchenne patients having scoliosis. Without steroids, we had 90% of scoliosis. So the difference in the prevalence of scoliosis is huge if you compare steroids and non-steroids groups of patients. And finally, this is the terrific information, is that the mean age of death for Duchenne dystrophy is 10. So it means that if we do not do anything for these patients, they just will die. So it's crazy. But it's the reason why I'm here. I will explain some things regarding ventilation initially at night. And you must know that the data, international data regarding Duchenne muscular dystrophy with ventilation, make that ventilation provides now 10 to 15 years survival in this patient population. If it was patients with cancer, you would have a Nobel Prize for that. I mean, 10 to 15 years, it's incredibly long, only with ventilation. What is very interesting is that when you ask patients what they believe about ventilation, they will say, yes, why not, because I do not wish to die. Patients do not wish to die. Also, people do not wish just to survive. They want to have a good quality of life. And so, they just wish to live normally. And I think it's very normal that they wish to live normally, even with a severe disability. We have, from these kind of patients, four main concerns. So this is an important slide. The first concern is the cardiorespiratory problems. Second is nutritional problems. Third one is orthopedic problems. And the last one is all the problems related to the technical aids offered to these patients. So the first problem, and it's the problem I will explain here a little bit more, it's respiration, breathing. When we look here at a patient sleeping from 10 until 6 in the morning, you see here his strength with O2 saturation. This is the level of oxygen in blood. And here is the PCO2. PCO2 is the gas that you exhale after inspiration. So you will breathe in oxygen, you will breathe out CO2. And in this slide, you see the first part of the night, the patient is not asleep. He is still awake. And clearly, you see, as long as the patient is awake, oxygen blood is normal, but also CO2 is normal. The normal value is under 45 millimeters of mercury. The problem in this patient is precisely when he starts to sleep. The problem of those patients is to breathe during sleep. And clearly, you see, during sleep, that we have large troubles in saturation, in oxygen blood, but also you see that CO2 is not normal and regular as here. It begins to have ups and downs, and it will increase to high rates that are not acceptable for the body. A similar patient, from 10 in the evening until 6 in the morning, you see this patient is here asleep, and you see during sleep, as before, that oxygen saturation is not good, but also that the CO2 has a trend to rise. So the CO2 is also too high. And you see weak ventilation with a nasal mask and a device pushing air in the lungs, like Martin has at the moment. You see immediately how the correction is for the oxygen in blood, but also that immediately CO2 will go down and be stable at acceptable levels. And so, with ventilation, patients have no risk to die because they do not breathe normally. It's interesting to know that Belgium and the Czech Republic have almost the same population, between 10 and 11 million people, so habitants. So the comparison I will make now from Belgium can be transferred to the Czech Republic just because we have the same amount of habitants in both countries. So I will explain two things, two chapters. The first chapter will be the organization of the care in my country. With a law, we have laws describing what are the care we can offer to patients. And second, I will a little bit more explain what we are doing in my local hospital. So, the law can be divided into under chapters, into paragraphs. The first one is home mechanical ventilation, and the second one is centers specifically dedicated to neuromuscular disorders. So, the first chapter is organization of care in Belgium. This is a legal framework, and it's coming from the observation, from the statement that patients with a specific disease have specific needs, and so for this reason they will need and require specific care centers. And also in Belgium we observe that expertise was disseminated a little bit everywhere in the country, in different local hospitals, and that we needed to centralize the expertise in some specific centers. But also, this is important for the politics, we have the ambition to control the cost, because if you make a legal framework to reimburse ventilation, the risk is to have high costs to offer ventilation. So the wish was to control the costs. And finally, the last important point was to have a free access to patients, so that patients do not pay one coupon for their ventilation. So our concern today, I told you, is to define centers for home mechanical ventilation and also centers for neuromuscular disorders. I think that one of the most interesting things in our law is that there must be a relationship between ventilation and neuromuscular disorders. It means that patients with few mobility, like Martin for instance, they do not need to go in 10 different hospitals to have their care. No, they go to one unit, and in this, the same unit with the same head doctor, they can receive ventilation, but they also can receive the specific care because they have a specific disorder, like cardiorespiratory, nutrition, orthopedic, and technical aids programs. So, how did we do to start with this procedure? We just invited several physicians from every department, from every part of the country. And we made a working group with all those physicians. And we asked them, which is the target population to which you want to offer ventilation? What are the target hospitals? What are the needs for the hospitals? For instance, perhaps they need to have acute settings to welcome these patients, for instance. For instance, target hospitals need to have X-rays that are available and accessible to patients. If you have a door which is not larger than this, patients cannot go inside with the wheelchair. So The hospitals need to have large doors for the X-rays, for instance, and they will control that. And do you know who will control that? This is the patient association who will control it. So we give to the patient association the power to control in every hospital if what they promise to do is the reality. It's very interesting. And also, all these physicians will describe the content of the agreement with the care, which examinations, which consultations, and also which material will we offer to the patients. And finally, this is important, and we will speak largely about that, how much does it cost to have such a program in the Czech Republic? For instance, during this working group, there will be brainstorming, and one physician will say, every time we see a patient, patients need to have a thorax X-ray. A second doctor will say, I think it's needed to have a consultation by the cardiologist. Another will say, it's needed to have a consultation by the pulmonologist. Another will say, we need every time, during every consultation, we need to have a lung function test, so to measure how people breathe in and breathe out, plus a blood sample. Also, we need to offer to every patient at least one multidisciplinary consultation that includes all the previous examinations, including one short hospitalization a year. In my hospital, it's only one day and one night, including a sleep laboratory. And another physician will say, we need to determine the criteria for the detection for the need of ventilation. And finally, we need to define which material, which ventilators will we give to patients, in the cost of these ventilators, and finally, which education will we offer to the patients, their families, and also the entourage of the patients. And a last physician will say, we also need to write procedures in case of respiratory emergency. What will we do if the patient has an acute illness? And finally, already in 1992, we gathered all the information from every physician and we made a law. This is a royal decree in my country because I live in a kingdom. It's a republic. I live in a kingdom, so we made a royal decree. This is 16 pages description. And in this description, you have all the criteria for access to the care, but also all the financial aspects that I will describe now. So, sorry. The content now of this agreement. So, we arrive at the content, finally. So, in this agreement, in this agreement, we define four types of ventilatory support. The first type is nocturnal ventilation. Nocturnal ventilation means that patients are ventilated at least 8 hours. A second category is discontinuous ventilation, more than 12 hours on 24. A third category is continuous ventilation, at least 23 hours on 24. And the last one is access for physiotherapy with a device whose name is the cuff assist. I will explain what it is. So I will only explain nocturnal ventilation. For the rest, it will be always the same planning. But to give you an idea regarding the details of the agreement, nocturnal ventilation is at least 8 hours. For which patients? Patients with central hyperventilation or neurologic disorders, or patients with restrictive neuromuscular disorders. These are the patients, so they must have a good diagnosis. If they don't have the right diagnosis, then they have no access to this agreement. And criteria for access is, or to have a CO2 more than 47 millimeters of mercury during the daytime, or during sleep, a low saturation for 5 consecutive minutes, or PCO2 higher than 47 millimeters of mercury. Or patients may not reach these criteria, but have a rapid progression of the disorder, and within 12 months, if the vital capacity, the drop in vital capacity is more than 10% in 1 year, this is a lot, eh? So if the breathing capacity is reduced by 10%, or the maximal strength of the infraperitoneal muscles, this is the maximal strength of infraperitoneal muscles, is less than 60, these are the criteria, they have access to ventilation. Or if their vital capacity, so their breathing capacity, is less than 50% of the predicted values. These are the Belgian criteria. I'm not sure these are the best one because it's already a long time ago written. I think that we will progress and rewrite our agreement in the next years to be in agreement with the last scientific developments. Regarding material, for a patient who receives ventilation only during sleep, nocturnal ventilation, what are what is the material that is prescribed in our agreement? You may have a pressure device with guaranteed volume, one ventilator, or a BiPAP, this is another kind of device, plus every accessories. But in the case of ventilation with tracheostomy, which is less and less the case in my country, we are ventilated very, very few patients with tracheostomy, perhaps one every 10 years, perhaps, for hundreds of patients with non-invasive techniques. But in case of invasive techniques, you need to provide a heating system, but also a suction unit to have a suction of the secretions in the mouth or in the trachea. And finally, and this is important, we must, as a center for ventilation, we must give to every patient an ambu bag. The same planning is made for discontinuous ventilation with criteria for which patient will have access, for which criteria of access to the care. And again, for discontinuous ventilation, we have some specific material that we must give to the patients. For instance, what is new here? A patient who has discontinuous ventilation means that he will have ventilation also some hours during the daytime. And so we must, as a center, it's legal, it's obliged, it's mandatory, we must give a battery to have autonomy on the wheelchair. Finally, continuous ventilation, more than 23 hours a day. Again, criteria for patients, criteria for access to the care. And here again, we have material that we must give. And to give you an idea, every patient with more than 23 hours on 24, we must give two devices, by preference, two times the same, perhaps with different settings, but it's much more easier for the families to have the same device during the daytime and during the nighttime. For instance, if they are living very far from the center, it will be easy if the ventilator for the nighttime has a problem, they will take the one of the daytime and use it for the daytime. And so for this reason, we will prepare every device with two programs, daytime, nighttime, and so we can switch in case of problems. I have been several times in Australia to give lessons and conferences as well, and people told me that they had to take the plane to visit the hospital, because the hospital, reference hospital, can be at 1,500 kilometers far from the center, so they must have a second device to immediately be able to give a solution in case of problems, naturally. In my country, it's so small, like here, it's not so big, it's easier to have a service, but in largest country, it can be difficult. And back again, external battery suction unit, and again, in case of tracheostomy, heating and suction unit. The last point after mechanical ventilation is the access to this device. This device is known as cuff assist. Cuff assist is to assist cuffing. People who cannot cuff, they will cuff like this. and we touch a device, it will blow up air into the lungs and take air out of the lungs very quickly, and with such a machine they will have a loud cough and they will be able to have secretions in the mouth. And when you have secretions in the mouth, you take that with a paper or you will have a suction between the lips. So this machine is very important to patients who cannot have a normal cough. And why did we include this machine in the care with ventilators? It's just because if you ventilate someone like Martin or someone else with a neuromuscular disorder, and the patient is good to breathe in, but he has a lot of secretions, it will not work. So it's mandatory to have at the same time a system to ventilate, but also to expel secretions out of the lungs. Again, there are criteria for patients, and in Belgium, only patients with neuromuscular disorder have access to the cuff assist, to the cuff assist, only neuromuscular patients. And the criteria to access is a peak flow during cuff, C means cuff, which is less than 180 liters a minute. 180 liters a minute is almost like that. It's not so much. So patients who have a very weak cuff, they have access to this device. We, as a center, we have also obligations. For instance, we must organize and we must fund for maintenance and reparation of every device. We must offer education to the patients and to the entourage, and it takes time. Also, we must organize a 24/7, it means 24 hours, 7 days a week, a call service when patients have problems. And how do we organize that? We are putting, I don't know the name in English, a sticker on the device with one telephone number. And if the patient has a problem, it's not needed to run everywhere to look at papers. Oh, this one is my telephone number. No, just look at the machine, there is a phone number, you phone, and you have someone answering to take care of the problem. This is very simple and it works perfectly well. Also, for dependent patients, we must organize interventions at home. And in Belgium, in my country, for every patient dependent on the ventilator, it must happen within 3 hours. So this is our organization. In the practice, how does it work? My hospital, for instance, is a reference center for home mechanical ventilation. And we have for the first time a patient attending the consultation, and he has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So we say hello, he has a consultation, we make an anamnesis, etc., etc. He will have a multidisciplinary consultation, x-rays, blood sample, everything. And after that, we will see that this patient, so he is attending our recognized center, and we see during the examinations that this patient needs ventilation at night, but also this patient needs a cuff assist. What will we do? We will introduce a file with all the information, with the criteria that are met by the patient, to the healthcare insurance. And this is the public healthcare insurance. It's not the private one. It's from the state. And because there is a law, the healthcare system must pay. They must pay, they have no choice. And they will pay. How will they pay? They will pay by day of use. So a patient who is using nocturnal ventilation, the cost for the society is 12 euro a day. For a cuff assist, we receive 6 euro a day. And with this money, we must buy the device, we must organize everything, education, maintenance, etc., etc. So the first years, we will lose money. But after years, we will win a little bit money. So I won't say it's lucrative, but you can live with such few money. It looks few, but it can be enough to organize the care. And so with this money, we will implement the program of care, of ventilation and of catheters in this patient. It is lasting almost 5 days to implement the ventilation. And after 5 days, patients are going home. They come back six weeks later, and after that, we see patients every 6 months at the hospital. In Belgium, we have 16 specialized centers that are both centers for mechanical ventilation, but also centers for neuromuscular disorders. Because I told you, it is mandatory to have both services for every patient. But this is too much. To give you an idea, for 15 million people in the Netherlands, they have only 4 centers. And we have 16. It's too much, probably. How many does it cost for one patient every year? If you have a patient with nocturnal ventilation, the cost per year in Europe is less than 5,000 euros. Discontinuous ventilation, a little bit more than 5,000 euros. For permanent ventilation, continuous ventilation, it costs a little bit more because patients have 2 ventilators. So it's a little bit less than 2,000 euros per year. And catheters is only 2,190 euros per year. So if you summarize the needs for a country, the estimated cost for the Czech Republic can be like that. You can imagine that in the Czech Republic, almost 600 patients require ventilation. But not all of them require continuous, nocturnal, discontinuous, and catheters. You can imagine, as I compare with Belgium, that continuous ventilation, only 100 patients will require that. So it will cost for a country that. Discontinuous ventilation will be the cost. Nocturnal is the highest cost because the majority of patients will only use ventilation during the night time. And as you can see, care assistance is very few for a country as big as the Czech Republic. It's only 220,000 euros. It's close to nothing for the state. So we can imagine the total cost for the country is less than 4 million euros per year. But the 4 million is after 10 years. When you start with a new program, I look at the statistic in Belgium. The first year, we had only half a million of costs. And progressively, with years, we had more and more. So if the Czech Republic decides to offer ventilation with public money, for the next 10 days, it will cost less than 2 million euros every year. This is the average. So I will repeat that. The cost for the Czech Republic, for 10 years, it's 2 million euros every year, for 10 years. This is the cost, almost. And with this money, you can manage for everything. I will say a little word now about specialized centers for neuromuscular disorders. Pavlina, when do you wish I finish my presentation? Do you have 10 more minutes, or is it a little bit too long? Yeah, is it okay? So, because we have a law, we have data. Because we have data, we can make statistics. And so the public health is making a register of all patients with a neuromuscular disorder in Belgium. And so, we have almost 430 patients per million inhabitants inscribed in our centers, but estimated it's 1,000. So it means that after more than 10 years, we have less than 50% of patients inscribed in the centers. So many patients continue to manage by themselves. And if you look at the statistics, you see that it's growing progressively, the number of patients. Initially, it was less than 2,000, and now we arrive with more than 4,000 neuromuscular patients that are seen with specific consultation in specific centers. And this is the statistics center by center. And we receive every year such a book. Every center receives that. And so we can follow what happens in our center, but what happens in the other centers. And for instance, we have statistics on patients, disorder by disorder. To give you an idea, with Duchenne we have 243 patients that are followed by a specific center. 16% are in life support, 47% are in wheelchair, 36% are symptomatic, and less than 1% are always at the stage of diagnosis. This is our team, and I will explain now what we offer as a service to the patients. So I told you, we have four programs: cardiorespiratory, orthopedic, nutrition, technical support. I will go a little bit faster now. Cardiorespiratory care is first something multidisciplinary. It's very important that we do not work alone. Here you see there is the placement of a PEC tube. This is the surgeon, this is the nurse, and I'm doing ventilation during the proceeding. And you see here, again, this is an endoscopy with a patient, and we ventilate patients during the examination. So we work always with the team, always. Second point is control of the lung function. How do the patient breathe in and breathe out? Evaluation of cough. How do the patient cough? Do they cough with effectiveness or not? If not, perhaps they have access to the cough assist, the device to help them to cough. But also we are giving advising to physiotherapists at home. So we go at home and we advise physiotherapists. Even we go sometimes to the schools. This is the school you see here. This is the school. And I went there to a patient and they wanted to know how to use the cuff assist in case of problems at school. And so I learned to every teacher from primary school how to use the device. And here, almost the same, I'm explaining to a mother how to do when the child has secretion. Also, we are offering ventilation. I told about that already. But also, this is very important, we have a procedure to organize the care when there is something acute. What do the patient do in case of problem? We have the advantage that on the same telephone number, patients can phone also for medical problems. So we have the same telephone number for problems of materials or for problems of health. The results in Duchenne dystrophy, I will go very quickly with that, but you see here that the best results are seen with ventilation. Here, this curve, and this curve are the best curves of survival thanks to ventilation. This is a crazy slide. A patient with Duchenne dystrophy is almost 30 years of age. The ventilator is here. This is 3,000 meters altitude in Switzerland. This is the tube. This is the nasal mask. But I know that in the Czech Republic, I know Martin is doing the same. So it's not so much crazy to do that. Second program is orthopedic program. We will evaluate the motor function, but also we will evaluate the mobility with the famous 6-minute walking test. We will manage for scoliosis. We have patients with very, very severe scoliosis, so we have a program for surgery also. And patients who have no surgery, they also can benefit from a kind of extra skeleton. This is a corset that we are doing in our hospital specifically for those patients. But also, for instance, as you can see, the X-ray room we have is adapted to neuromuscular patients, so we can put paralyzed patients in every position to take X-rays. We offer also intensive motor rehabilitation. And finally, we have a clinic of pain because many patients have some severe pain, for instance, sciatalgias. And so we must take care of this problem. We have a program in nutrition. So we will weigh patients with specific weighing system, and they remain in the wheelchair. So we do not need to take patients in our arms to weigh them. We will evaluate dysphagia with liquids and with solid food to every patient with complaint. We have also specialized dietitians, and this is a publication we made this year with one dietitian from Australia, and this is our dietitian, and this is the speech therapist. So I spoke about multidisciplinary team, and it works like that. And finally, we place in our rehabilitation hospital, we place the gastrotomy tube feeding when needed. And our habit is to offer this tube very early in the progression of the disease. One of the reasons is that when they are older, they can not open mouths enough to put the endoscope inside in the mouth. It's one of the reasons. Last program is the program of technical support, very important. So we have occupational therapists that are specialized in the adaptation of everything on this patient. So we will inform, we will evaluate, and we will prescribe material for those patients. We will provide specific material, specific mattress, specific seats, for instance, to go to the toilets. Also specific system to move, wheelchairs, but also specific cars. The largest activity to every patient with few movements is informatics. So computers is very, very important. So our occupational therapists, for instance, are crazy to develop system that patients, even with very few movements, they can work on computers, they can phone, they can do everything, even when they have very little movements. But also advices in robotics, advices to adapt everything at home with lifts, for instance. And our occupational therapist has made a special education and is allowed to change the plans of the architect, to modify at home and make lifts, things like that. And finally, also to help patients in traveling. A patient says, next month I go to Thailand. I would like you to help me for everything. So we prepare all the material to make that a trip is possible. It's close to be finished. Are you still okay? So what are the types of contacts you can have with your hospital? You can have contacts by telephone, 24 hours on 24. Also, we have multidisciplinary consultations during the daytime. We can propose short 24 hours hospitalization. We can propose acute hospitalization when they are ill. We organize visits at home when necessary. But also, for instance, a patient that has been intubated, I can go to the hospitals where he was intubated to extubate him and to start with non-invasive ventilation. We are doing that. So, for instance, we can visit other centers before the transfer of patients in my hospital. We also organize education at home, at schools, and in other centers. That are all the types of contacts we do. This is, for instance, a specialized school, and these are all nurses, occupational therapists, and physiotherapists, and we are explaining problems of swallowing functions, of respiratory problems, etc., etc. Last point, and I will have finished. Every patient receives a map, and at the back of the map, he has the name, the email, and the telephone number of every person from the multidisciplinary team. So if the patient has problem to swallow, he knows who to call. If he has problems with his ventilation, he knows who to call, etc. And when they do not know who to call, we have someone who coordinates everything and who receives all the contacts and who will dispatch after that the questions from patients. So the conclusion is that patients wish to live. We believe that the healthcare system needs to help them. Ventilation is a very easy system to implement, and the costs are very low for a country, I think, and it can be controlled in closed envelope. If we know the number of patients, if we know the cost, we can know in advance how many it will cost for the community. So we believe that our mission now is to avoid that patients die at home. We are no more in the Middle Age, in Belgium, in the Czech Republic, or in any country. We must help patients. It's what we believe profoundly. Okay, I thank you for your attention. It was a little bit long, but I was happy to explain everything. Public health system. Yeah, the public one.
And you don't have to look for some private sources?
No.
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 And how long did you take to convince the health system to
Yeah. My former boss was Dr. Soudon. He was a large brain and he has a strong character. And he made everything. It was my former boss. He took the initiative to go to the public system, health system, and he asked to have a meeting with every professional. And we started like this. And so all professionals were invited. And so they discussed, they brainstormed about what do we need to do, how will we organize that. And after that, he made a first project of 16 pages, and his project was accepted as the law. Because it was so well done that everything was in this project. But you need a leader, and we had one.
Yes, and last, do you cooperate with the patient organizations for the muscular disease from Belgium?
Yeah.
And how many organizations are there in Belgium?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, only those taking care of the muscular disease.
Yes, Belgium is a little bit like Czechoslovakia before. So we have two sub-countries in one country, with two cultures, with two languages. And so we have two associations.
Two associations.
Two associations.
And how many doctors are working there in your center?
Very few. Yeah, because we do not need so much physicians. You need much more a big
yes.
team.
I think it's the biggest problem in the Czech Republic to convince the physicians to work for us. But to work in such a center.
I understand.
Thank
but you do not need so much physician. We have always been working with one physician.
Yes, and one more question. You think here in the center for children and for adults at the same time, or do you have special center for children and special adults?
In general, they are admitted in the same hospital, but in two separate units.
Yes.
But there is only one physician who is leading pediatry and adults.
Thank you.
Because, for instance, when we organize a multidisciplinary consultation, patients are coming, for instance, at 9 in the morning, and every hour they see someone, dietitian, occupational therapist, then it's X-ray, then it's blood gas, then it's physiotherapist, then it's lung function, etc. And we all fulfill our data in the computer. And the last consultation is the physician. And so he looks in the computer and he sees everything what happened during the day. And so he knows everything, all the problems. He knows because he can see on his computer. And only with one physician it can be enough. But indeed, they must have ambition and, because it's time consuming. This is true. I will only drink water.
Only water.
What is finish?
Finish.
This one? No.